All right, we're here talking about the manifesting of sons of God. We're in this area of vengeance and recompense. And this is volume 2, part 18, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Praise God. All right, well, we're here and again talking about this subject of manifesting as sons of God, and this is a time right now that is prophetic time for the church. This is the time that we're coming in, and the church is going to come in for the management of this earth. Some things that are out of order, God's going to use us to put them back in line. Thank you, Jesus. And so just get ready, get ready, get ready. That everything contrary to the rule and the law and the justice of God is going to have to be brought under subjection. Amen. 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 And that there is a second coming of Christ coming in this earth, and we are here to prepare the way for his coming. He is not coming for a defeated church. He's coming for a victorious church. Amen. Amen. So as we look at this, we are talking about the fact that you and I are manifesting his kingdom, and a vital part of kingdom manifestation is this word called justice. Now, what I did last time is I took you to John. Let's go over there. John chapter 17, please. John chapter 17. Now, over in John chapter 17, Jesus, this is part of his final prayer that he's prayed before his passion. And so now what we see here is that he's praying here, he is saying, verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, right here, Jesus is pretty much putting you and I in the same category as himself. And he is saying he's not of the world, and we're not of the world. So when you got born again, that was just not a touch-up job. You got recreated. You were something that you never were before. Say amen to that. Now, then he says, I pray, verse 15, not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, he repeats this, even as I am not of the world. So another translation says basically that we are no more defined by this world or marked by the world's boundaries. We are not marked by the world's boundaries. And when I told you last time we got into this, we said that this thing is really all about boundaries and breaking barriers. I use the example of the sound barrier, airplane breaking the sound barrier. That at first they thought it was something that couldn't be done, and they were skeptical about it. That they thought maybe that when you broke the sound barrier, you would disintegrate, all kinds of things. But what I'm saying is that in our lives, we are no longer defined by this world, and that whatever the limits that the world has should not be our limits. Can I get an amen for that?
Amen.
So whatever has been restricting the world should not restrict us. That you and I are the same as Jesus, meaning that we're his body, and there were no boundaries in Jesus' life. So there shouldn't be any boundaries in our lives. Now, we're saying boundaries, meaning that those things that, for the most part, had been imposed upon us by the enemy himself, that these are things that are designed, the enemy designed to contain us or control us. You and I have been born again, so the enemy couldn't stop us from being born again, but he's trying to contain us from being able to affect this world as God had planned. And so you and I now are going to have to break out of those boundaries, which most of them have been self-imposed. We talked about one, the boundary where there was a self-imposed boundary by leadership. And when God led the people out of Egypt, they were now in the wilderness and they were supposed to go into Canaan. But they sent out 12 spies and they came back and 10 of them had an evil report. They said, hey, there are giants in the land. We're in their own sight as grasshoppers. We can never take it. The walls are too high. The people are warlike. They're too tall, so forth and so on. And as a result of that, 3 million people were contained, except two. This was Joshua and Caleb. They refused to accept the boundaries of the world. And they said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are what? Well able to overcome it. And as it turned out, they were the only ones that went there. The other thing we said is some people set boundaries in their own lives by speaking wrong things. And we used an example when a person would say something like this, boy, it doesn't get any better than this. Well, you just put a boundary. God can never make it better than that in your life. So what we have to do is we have to look and see where these boundaries came from. Because most of these boundaries, like I said, have been something that have been established by us, by the world system, by the culture we grew up in, and limitations and so forth. And what I said is that one thing, civil rights was an assault against a boundary. And it's saying, hey, I'm not going to sit in the back of the bus anymore. I'm coming up front. Matter of fact, I'm going to be the driver. And get me a bus job. And so I'm just saying, whatever boundaries are in our lives. Now, the boundary is the Word of God. So when the Word of God puts a boundary, thou shalt not steal, then that is a boundary in our lives that we have to respect, because what's in here is now constituting our boundaries. So now, as we say this, what we tried to give you last time, or attempted to give you, are some examples and so forth in terms of boundaries. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 4, please. Proverbs chapter 4. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, what? So is he. Or whatever a person believes is where they're going to end up in life. Now, I want to show you something, because this is a little bit of a revelation, but I want you to grab hold to it. All right. Now, say no more limits. Okay. All right. So basically, when we're talking about limits, the church is designed not to have one single limit in terms of the world and what we can do. So as we look at this, we talk about some of those examples. And some of those examples had to do with people being burned at the stake, or members decapitated, or members cut off, or whatever have you. And we even talk about boiling in oil and wouldn't die. We use the example of the Apostle John, that because he wouldn't die, they exiled him to the Isle of Patmos. Now, I looked at another one here in the early church. This is the time of the Roman Empire. This is between the centuries of 117 AD and 138 AD. It was a reign of a guy named Hadrian. And It was a man named Faustinus and also Joetus, brothers who were Christian. And I'm reading you the account now. They were taken to the temple where resided the god or golden idol of a sun god. Now, this is part of the Roman Empire. So they invoked the name of Jesus, and the idol became dark with soot. And Hadrian ordered the priest to go clean the idol, but as soon as the priest touched the idol, it crumbled. Now the emperor, furious about this, with a rage, ordered that these two brothers be thrown to the wild beast in the amphitheater. Then four lions with some leopards and bears were let loose on them. But the wild beast went and laid peaceably beside them, licking their feet. Now, I guess I don't mind them laying beside me, but I don't know about that licking my feet, Karen. And meant freaky stuff. And then men that because this emperor was enraged, he sent men to enrage or stir up the beast. And they stirred up the beast, and the beast turned on them and devoured them. Now, I'm only saying something that is so very important here. I ask you to turn to Proverbs 4. Would you put something right there and just go to the next chapter, next book over, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, please. Because this is something very important. I want you to get used to this. You see, supernatural preaching yields supernatural thinking. Supernatural thinking yields supernatural believing. And supernatural believing with supernatural actions, and of course, the miracles take place from there. Look what it says here in Ecclesiastes in chapter 7 and verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Let's just stop right there. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. So God has planned for the end to be better than the first. Now, I'm saying this is the first century here that they were conducting all of this, and all these miracles and supernatural was happening. And he's saying, hey, I got some better stuff that is prepared for you than happened here at this time. So I'm not sure what all better is, but I'm going to take God's word at it because he is saying this. Now, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 4, please. In Proverbs chapter 4, look at verse 23. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Out of your heart are the issues of life. Now, I want you to see what he's saying here. Out of your heart are the issues of life. Now, when he said issues, I looked it up in concordance. It said boundaries or borders. And I teach about this in my book on thinking. It says boundaries or borders. So out of your heart are the boundaries of your life. Now, this is interesting because before we got born again, we thought we were natural having a spiritual experience. In other words, when you hear somebody talking about body, they talk about body and soul. That very seldom outside of the church do you hear body, soul, and spirit. But you and I are spirit. Say amen to that. And he is saying here that keep thine heart or your spirit with all diligence, guard it, because out of it are going to be the boundaries of your life. The boundaries of your life don't come out of your mind, your conscious thinking. The boundaries of your life are coming out of your heart. How far you can go, what you can do, what you can have is going to come out of this in here. So what we got to do is we got to take care and tend to this. Because the wrong thing in there will give you the wrong boundary. And a lot of times what people do, they're busy putting it on other folk that other folk are their problems. And all you got to do is look at the scriptures. And over in Matthew, he said this. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And a good man out of the good deposit of the heart brings forth good things. But an evil man out of the evil deposit of the heart brings forth evil things. Are you following what I'm saying? He said that by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be what? Condemned. So if you say it doesn't get any better than this, then your words have just condemned you. They have just put you in a box, and that's as far as you're going to go. Now hear what I'm saying now. So I'm saying that your boundaries are not outside. That you can't blame them. I'm talking about the believers now. I'm not talking about people who don't know God, because they're blaming everybody. But I'm talking about people in a New York subway that were down there, and they were romanticizing in a subway down there, and got hit by a train and then sued the subway company. Now, that, you know, and they were down there. But anyway, so I'm just saying it's always somebody else's fault. My point to you is, wait a minute. He said in Joshua chapter 1, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. He says over in Acts chapter 10 and verse 34 and 35, he said that God is no respecter of persons. You know, no respect of persons. He said that in every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted with him and has the same access to his blessings. So it doesn't make any difference what country you're in. It doesn't make any difference what color you are. It doesn't make any difference what neighborhood you grew up in. It doesn't make any difference. The difference is in here. Now, let's go further. Because now the enemy wants to keep you contained by keeping you carnal. He wants to keep you mindful of the flesh. More so than the spirit. Jesus said, I judge no man after the flesh. Jesus said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. Now, the word of God is spirit and it is all powerful. Come on over here. Let's go. Oh, glory to God. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 1, please. Hebrews chapter 1. Over in Hebrews chapter 1, it speaks about the Lord Jesus. And it says this. He says in verse 1, God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Watch this. Who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Now, another translation in the Message Bible says, he holds everything together by what he says. Now, that's how powerful the word is. The word can hold everything together by what you say. As a matter of fact, the word is life. And life eats up death. So you can come into a place where there's a lot of death and speak life. And corruption, it is eaten up. It's like rust on a car. You wonder, how did this car rust out like that? Where did the metal go? Well, it oxidized. It changed forms. It's gone. It's not there anymore. And they have to go and either get another fender or something like that to be able to fix this rust spot because it just ate it up. I'm just telling you, he said in Job chapter 14, he said, if a life looks like it has failed, then just one drop of the word of God will bring a life that is dead back to life. Are you following what I'm saying? So I don't care how the enemy has tried to ruin your life. There is nothing too hard for God. And I'm saying that one drop of the word. That's why a lot of you coming in here today, because you need the word of God. You need you need the word of God because you are spirit. And the Bible says that man shall not live, come on, by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You see, there's not much in your head. Now, let me clarify that. Let me clarify that. Do you know there are problems out here today that your head can't solve that problem? Do you know that? So there's not much in there. I mean, what you thank God you got something in there, but there's not much compared to what's out of there. And what you got to do is know that you and God are one. You're hooked up to the wisdom of God, and you just download what you need into your spirit, and the Holy Spirit can bring it back up to your mind. I'm just saying, with us, we need the spiritual part taken care of. We need to develop the spirit, because it's the spirit life that you need now to start walking in. We walked in carnality long enough. That's what got us where we are. But God said, whatever the devil messed up, I can fix. And so what you need to do is cross on over and not walk by flesh, but walk by faith. Say amen to this. So now here we are, and you and I come in here, we need some word. Why do we need some word? Because of our spirit. And I like what the man said. He said, you know, you can get into a place where you're depleted in your spirit and all the bed rest won't do you any good. Why? Because it's two different levels. You need the word. See, your spirit knows what you need. That's why you're in here. Are you following what I'm saying? That's why people want to come in here, because they want to get that word. And now their head may not know they need it, but their spirit is hungry. Yes, sir. Their spirit is hungry. Now, the quality that you get intake determines your ability to dominate outside. Now, come on, Pastor. See. You were never designed to be limited by this natural, physical, three-dimensional world. That is not as far as you can see. Your spirit's got eyes too. The thing that you haven't done is activated them. We're so comfortable with natural. Until when it's time for the super, we get a little bit uncomfortable. But my job is to pull you on over in there. Because that's where the exploits are going to take place. Boy, I know that's right. Yeah, see, that's where it takes place when your head can't explain it. Because it doesn't know but so much. But you're going to be operating on a whole nother level. So you can see things that other folk can't see. So here is Jesus. Now understand, what he's got, you've got. I said, what he's got, you've got. He was an example for you. Let's see what he had. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Huh? Hebrews chapter 12. I'm still talking on the subject of this justice and vengeance and recompense now. Hebrews chapter 12. Let me know if you get there. Say, praise the Lord. Verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside what? Every weight and the what? Sin, which does so what? Easily beset us. And let us run with what? Patience a race that is set before us. Watch this. Looking to who? Jesus. Keep going. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what did he do? He endured the cross, now watch this now, despising what? The shame, And it's what? Set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, two things. One, the invisible controls the visible. That's number one. The invisible controls the visible. The invisible controls the visible. So you'll find that what you speak out of your spirit is controlling something. That's why you got to watch your words. Got it? All right. And you see Jesus, he spoke to a fig tree, didn't he? Did he curse it? Did it die? That which you couldn't see controlled that which you could see. You with me? All right. Also, he said, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. So he saw something. And he saw something other folk didn't see. And as a result of that, it brought endurance in his life. So what he saw was him being raised and you coming home. Now, when he saw it, it gave him endurance, but it also caused him to despise the shame. You know, I was preaching in Tulsa. I'd go to school, seminary, and then I'd just get a hankering to preach. And I'd put all the equipment in, my sound equipment in the trunk and so forth. My wife would load me up. And I'd take off for the north side. And I'd get out there, and there'd always somebody who would let me hook up into their car, into their house. I'd run some wires through their window and so forth. And I'd preach. And this one lady came out. Now, I took my own chairs out there. How many did I take, baby? About six or seven, so whatever, four or five. Yeah, whatever I could fit in for my congregation. Now, this lady comes out, and I'm just preaching like a house of fire. She said, "Preacher?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "You preaching like you preaching to 10,000. I thought I was. You see, I wasn't ashamed because it was more real to me than where I was right then. You follow what I'm saying? I remember Dr. Price said something. He was talking about when he was starting his ministry, and he had that word, and I mean, they were calling him to preach everywhere from up North California down to El Segundo, everywhere in California, they were calling him to preach that word. And he said he was going, and he was driving this big old whatever, but it was wrecked in the front. He said his daughters had wrecked it in the front, on the sides, and on the back. He said it was terrible. And he'd drive up to the church preaching prosperity. And he'd drive up there, and all of them, and his wife would want to get out of the car right quick and go in. And then when he got done preaching, she tried to rush him out before everybody got out of the car. But understand, he was believing God for a Lincoln and a Rolls Royce. You got what I'm saying? And it was so real to him that he wasn't ashamed. And he said, he just drove up there. He said, "Why are you in such a big hurry? Sit down here." She had to sit down in that raggedy car. He had just got done preaching that God prospers you. He blesses you. He wants you with the finest. Then she'd get out, crank up his car. She said, "Oh, Lord." He said, but he was not ashamed. And the reason why he was not ashamed, because he could see the invisible. Praise God, man. And that's what the enemy wants to take away from you. Because when you can only see the now, the first first thing it does is makes you selfish. I mean, it's mine. I'm going to hold on to this. I'm not going to share it with anybody because this is all I got and this is all it's going to be and so forth and so on because you can't see anything. And it makes people self-destructive. And that's what I told you last time. Here was a man in Connecticut. What did he do? He didn't see any hope. He didn't understand that, wait a minute, there is a future and a hope. That if you are hooked up with God, God will give you new hope and new deliverance and new possibilities than you'd have in your natural head. Because you can't think of, say amen to that. So what does he do? Gets destructive and ends up killing himself. It's a tragic kind of thing. But I'm saying now that this whole idea of justice, it's going to be coming to play in the world and all over the nations. Because there has been injustice in different areas of the nations. And it doesn't make any difference where you go. It could be this whole sex trading, whatever it is, all kinds of things. Those little kids and so forth. There's a lot of injustice. But you and I have been called to usher in the kingdom. That every place that is out of line with kingdom principles, kingdom laws, kingdom justice, every place that's out of line with joy and peace and so forth, you and I have been called to go to it. Now we can go to it and start by decreeing things. We can start by just saying things, walking down the street, blessing things, stopping things, binding things, loosing things. Come on now, because we are God's mouthpiece in this earth. And he's looking for us to stand up against injustice and against where people are being treated wrong. Say amen to that. Now, understand that God is with you. That when you go, God knows you're going to have resistance. Now let's go over to, Lord have mercy. Y'all still with me? Let's go over to Exodus and chapter 3, please. Lord Jesus. Woo-wee. I'm telling you, Satan's reign is over. His reign is over. We are going to manifest the sons of God. We are the ones that Jesus has been waiting on. We are the ones. The end is going to be even better than the first. You are coming into a time that you'll fall on a sword. It won't even hurt you. You're coming into a time that a lion won't even bite you. You're coming into a time that when people set up a trap for you, they're going to fall into it themselves. You're coming into a time that disease can't hold you. You're coming into a time, no more accidents. You're coming in, I'm telling you, I'm speaking to you because you are a part of the latter rain saints. You are part of his end time army. And I'm telling you right now, nothing's going to be able to touch you because you are the apple of God. Hey! And we're going to change some things in this earth. Those prisons are there and they're just holding people. They're not trying to, I'm talking about the system now. Not the people, but the system has got them. It's systematic. It's systemic. And what we got to do is say, wait a minute, give me an idea, Lord. How do we do this? He said, okay, put trade schools in every one of them. He said, turn them into dormitories. Turn them into boarding schools. Every one of those prisons have wings for different trades. That means put auto mechanics in one of them. Put carpentry in one of them. Put so forth. I'm telling you, we can make some useful use of the time of the people that are in there so when they come out, they can have a job. They come out, they can start a business. Now that's what we're going to be all about. God can fix anything that's broke. Now, what did I tell you to turn? Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Plus the fact God's gonna give you favor, and favor ain't fair. He's gonna give. My goodness, where did I tell you to turn? Hey, where? Exodus. Okay. Woo-wee. All right. Now let me show you this. I got to show you all of it. Praise the Lord. Exodus 3. That is when he's taking Moses. He's going to use Moses to set the captives free. Am I right about it? Now I want you to see this, because he said something in verse 19 that I think is very appropriate. He said, I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, not by a mighty hand. Now, what am I saying? That word that he's speaking there is saying, wait a minute, that system is not going to want to let them go. That you're going to have to bring the devil to his knees. Now, folks, I'm here to tell you, I'm a peace-loving man. However, the devil is going to let the captives go. We have been called to replenish this earth. And we're going to follow that commandment. We're going to follow that mandate. We're going to get this job done. Now, as you go into these places, remember, no more self-defense. God is going to fight your battle for you. And what I told you about that is that the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the number one job is to execute upon all the enemies of God's people. Lord, have mercy. The vengeance of the Lord, and nothing shall escape him. Now, he has monitored the injustices, but Holy Ghost is on your side. And he wants you to go in knowing that you will not lose, that it is impossible for you to lose a battle. That as you go in, listen here, you better hear what I'm telling you. This vengeance, what we said is nothing to do with hatred and all of that, but we said it's necessity for punishing offenders. He's not talking about retaliation, not talking about hating anybody. But as you can see here, he tried to get Pharaoh to let the people go, but Pharaoh wouldn't let him go. And I'm telling you that the enemy doesn't want to let people go today and let them fulfill their destinies, but God said they're going to let them go. Say amen to that. And that whatever he stole from them is going to be repaid, because we're going to use some of that to build with. Say amen. So we're about to see the biggest wealth transfer that's ever took place on the face of the earth, because the end of a thing is going to be better than the beginning. And I'm saying he's going to take you back to the supernatural, and it's going to be every day some miracle, some supernatural is going to be taking place. Now, I'm saying he's going to beautify the church. That means when the rain of the anointing of God comes now, it's going to clean out the church of every sickness, every disease, anything working in your life that is working in your life, he's going to come in and destroy it. I'm talking about the anointing of God. Whatever's been tampering with your destiny, God is now, or whatever's been afflicting you, or whatever's been against your peace, your progress, or even your children, God's going to deal with it starting now. I'm telling you now, I want you to get this in your spirit. I'm saying here that you're going to be singing and shouting and so forth, and you're not going to be ashamed of the Lord. You're not going to be ashamed of Jesus. You're not going to be ashamed to speak his word, because the under understanding of vengeance and recompense is going to completely reset your attitude. You're going to know that wherever you go and whatever you say, God is there to back you up. Now, if you will, go over with me to Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33, because somebody hit me with something about, you know, what about love, brother? Well, it is love. That's what's doing this, is love. God hates robbery. He told you that. He hates injustice. Say amen to that. And this is something that the enemy has been getting away with, and the kingdom of God is not apart from justice. We've got to inflict justice now. And that was a time that the church wouldn't stand up and be counted. They just let people get used, people in slavery and so forth, and half the church was intimidated. Half of them didn't want to offend their neighbors and their cousins and so forth and wouldn't stand up. Well, this is a new day. We're going to stand up today. We're not standing up for Republicans and Democrats. We're standing up for the kingdom of God. We're going to stand up and let everybody know this is who I'm standing for. I'm standing for the kingdom, and this is what's going to be done in these last days. Now, I hope I didn't offend your favorite horse, but I'm telling you right now, this is the way things going to be. We're going to stop getting on this side. Well, I can't do that because she's one of my sorority sisters. I don't care who she is. I'm telling you, your allegiance to the kingdom of God is going to be different than death, more death than any allegiance to any Masons, any Eastern Star. Don't make me preach this, because it's time now for us to stop trying to put something before the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything will be added to us. No, sir. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Nothing is going to come before Jesus. Where he sends you, you don't owe nobody nothing but him. Now you're about to see miracles. Now you're about to see the supernatural. Now you're about to see people speak and limbs grow out. Now you're about to see blind eyes open. Now you're about to see all of a sudden your bank account get loaded. I'm telling you, when you're not ashamed of the gospel is not ashamed of you. You can hold on to some group, you can get a better job. Let me tell you what you're about to do. You're about to compromise and negotiate your rights away. You are hooked on with Jesus. If you are hooked on with him, the kingdom rules over everything. The kingdom will pull one supervisor down and put another one up. If you decree a thing, it shall be established. Think those people are. No group is as big as the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have that? Shout amen if you got it. God says, I'm the judge, I'm the lawgiver, and I am the king. Tired of this mess, my this and the organization that I serve, that we got to put that aside, folks. We got bigger business and bigger fish to fry. We got justice to manifest in this earth. Our allegiance is first to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that's where our power comes from, and that's who we report to. Say amen to that. Sit down. Praise God. Boy, I had to preach that today. I said I had to preach that today. And I'm telling you now, anybody that stands in your way, God is going to have to remove them. I said God is going to have to remove them. Because in these last days, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. I know somebody might get offended by what I said, but I don't care. I don't owe you nothing. Who I owe it to is the one who saved my soul. Boy, boy. I can feel it when I just touch somebody's nerve. I feel it. But that's because you've been deceived, you've been hung up. And if you are in the church and you, Lord Jesus, is your Lord and Savior, then your first allegiance is to Him. You are not going to have to go somewhere and get a job because of who you know. That is the world, and it's under your feet. What you gonna do is, if they don't wanna hire you, just buy the whole place. God's gonna give you the whole place. Just take the whole place and hire all these other folk out here. That's where I'm going now. Somebody got to preach this. I'm telling you, a lot of preachers won't preach it because too many people in their pocket. Yes, sir. And I don't owe nobody nothing. Not a single man helped me get in here. The man that helped me get in here was the man Christ Jesus. He helped me get in here, helped me get the bank, helped me get the mall, helped me get to school, helped me get... I'm telling you, if you'll help me, he'll help you too. Now, I'm not against people. I'm not against people. But there are systems that the enemy is behind to keep you bound. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You look at this last verse. What did I tell you? Ezekiel. Go to Ezekiel chapter 33. Now, I understand, I love people, but don't get in my way, because I'm going somewhere and I got something to do, and I'm on a schedule here, praise the Lord. Come on, I'm waiting for that 12 o'clock. I'm waiting for that express come down there, praise God. Look what it says in Ezekiel 33 and verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the what? Death of the wicked. God didn't have any pleasure in Pharaoh dying. He didn't want Pharaoh to die. But Pharaoh wouldn't get out of his way. I said Pharaoh wouldn't get out of his way. Do you hear what I'm telling you? It's where we're going now. Somebody gonna have to move. Because God's will be done. That's all I got. I'm through preaching. Give the Lord a praise. If you happen to look in Daniel chapter 4, you'll see. Well, King, I guess Nebuchadnezzar, whoever it was, he thought he was all that. He said, look what I have built. It's always I. See, self-defense came from the fall. Now you don't need to defend yourself. God says, vengeance is mine, and I will make them pay you back for everything that's done. You don't need to get mad at nobody. So what happened? The king had a dream, disturbed him, called Daniel, said, what is this I dream? Daniel told him, said, listen, here's what's going to happen. You thought you was all that. But God is about to strip this kingdom out of your hands. Now, there wasn't anybody more powerful than the king of Babylon. He's about to strip you down. And he's going to make it so that you are going to be out there in the grass like an ox. And hair will grow on you like a dog. I'm talking about the God I serve. Now, I'm not against people, but that's what he says here. He doesn't celebrate in the destruction of the wicked. He wants to save them. But if they won't move, somebody gonna have to deal with it. It's what time we in, saints. Now, I'm trying to give you this so you'll get some strength. You know, wait a minute. He who touches you will touch the apple of God's eye. And God will not stand for it. Is somebody here?
Yes.
I love people. Fine. You do all the organization you want to do. That's fine. But there's one who is higher than any organization. And if you don't acknowledge that and don't believe that over some temptation of the enemy, then you might be a victim. God has a plan for your life, and I decree you will fulfill it in the name of Jesus. That's all I got. Give the Lord a praise. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, that came out of the Holy Ghost now. Nobody think that some mayor is too big for God. Don't nobody think that some congressman is too big for God. Don't nobody think that anybody in the Justice Department or in the Supreme Court is too big for God. Don't nobody think. Doesn't make any difference, folks. When they're messing with God, they're messing with the wrong one. And you represent God. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved, Doc. God's going to use us to do some things. But just let's do something. Let's get rid of all fear. Just get rid of it. It's, God's going to take care of us. Just get rid of all fear. Get rid of all fear. No more. No more fear. No more fear. Fear of anything. Fear of man. Fear of going broke. No more fear. I said no more fear. Whew. Come on, don't think it's something going to happen to your kids now, because he gonna protect the kids. Everybody going to be protected now. I said everybody is protected now. This is it. If you hear God has spoken to your heart about being born again, you heard the word. The good news is Jesus died for you. He died so you could be here today and you can be a part of his army. He wants you. He's calling for you. He's using me right now to speak to you. He said this, "Come unto me all who are heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Things weigh heavy on you, including sin, because you don't know Christ, don't know the righteousness, don't know how to live, don't know how to so forth. But once you come to him, everything is taken care of. He starts first with you. Cleansing you, forgiving you, loving you. And as a result of that, God has a plan for your life. And you know and I know you can't get into God's plan till you get into God. He's got to send you. People trying to guess what they're supposed to do. That's just like asking a car what it's supposed to do. You got to go to the manufacturer. God is a manufacturer. He knows exactly what you're supposed to do. Don't waste any more time. Don't waste any more time. Find out what you're here for. Because that's going to give you joy and peace and passion. You're going to love what you're doing. So if you're here right now, you know I'm speaking to you, and this message has meant something to you. I want to pray for you. Pray the same prayer for you that they prayed for me that day when I went up on the north side of Chicago and gave my life to Christ. Everything changed. My body changed. My finances changed. My job performance changed. Everything changed. If you're ready for a change, God is ready to give you a change. Let me pray for you right now. Whoever you are, don't look at the people beside you. Don't think back, think forward. He has a plan for your life. Now you have to take a step of faith now, because your mind might tell you, it ain't the time, this is not the place, I don't know these people, whatever have you. Don't ignore that. Trust the fact that I'm here to pray for you. So if you're here right now, you know that I'm talking to you. I don't know where you stand with God, but I know where he stands with you. He brought you here today. I want you to come all the way. Whoever it is, take a step of faith right now. Get up out of your chair. Come up here and stand with me right now.